Hey, it's Ryan Stevenson, and you're listening to Weathering the Storm.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
On today's episode, artist and songwriter Jordan St. Cyr talks about the health struggles that his young daughter has been dealing with from birth. Those of us who are parents understand the fear around an uncertain future for our kids. God is always good, and he's always motivated by love. And we can trust him because he's a dad. Like any father, he wants us to run to him in our trouble, in our doubt, even with our questions. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm joined today by my good friend, Mr. Jordan St. Cyr.
Man, you nailed that last name. Well done.
I did my research.
That's right.
Jordan is a dear friend. I've known you for, I don't know, maybe a year or two now. Like, yeah. This is the first time I feel like we've really gotten to like hang out and
That's
kick
right.
it. But I've known you loosely from around the community and little, maybe some acoustic showcase kind of nights that we've been at. And we know a lot of the same people. Obviously, you have a big old massive song right now called Fires that I love. And I'll tell you this, man, not just because you're sitting here, but I was driving to Home Depot one day with my wife. This song came on the radio and I was just like, oh, this is going to be a big one. Like, it just moved me. Like, immediately I was like, I love this song. Like, it's just so beautiful and special. And this guy is singing about something real and something honest. And it was just so compelling, man. So thank you for your song Fires. I know it's touched so many people. It's just kind of ripped through our community in the Christian space of just being such an amazing song that has ministered to a lot of people, a lot of hurting people, a lot of pain, man. And I know you're no stranger to that. I'm really excited to have you in here today, man.
Dude.
You're Canadian.
I'm Canadian. Yeah.
Tell us about your struggles getting into the country.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you know, this pandemic is affected all of us in varying ways. And for us in Canada, just getting across the border has become a huge ordeal. But I'm happy to be, you know, working and touring in the U.S. and you know, when challenges come our way, like, it tells a better story, doesn't it? Like, it's like our weaknesses are just opportunities for God to
That's
work.
Right.
So here we are.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
When did you get into music? Like, when did you start getting into playing music?
You know,
have you been playing music forever?
No, I haven't. I've always been the underdog and the late bloomer in my life. So
you're speaking to the choir, dude.
Yeah, right?
All right.
So there was always music on in my house. My dad always had, you know, the Eagles or the Keith Green or, you know, Elton John playing in the living room. And I was immediately drawn to music, not as a musician, but as a listener and how it made me feel, right? I'd grab that double cassette player and I'd put a cassette in one side and record all his tapes and make my own mixtape, right? I would record the radio and wait for that one song that I want, right? So music was always something that moved me deeply. And it was in my, maybe just before I became a teenager that I understood in a very real way the connection and the language that it gave me to talk to God. And so before I could sing or play, before I had an agenda to become a musician or even a worship leader, anything like that, I knew, like, this is my direct connect. And for some strange reason, I was a weird kid. I knew that, right? There's wisdom there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my mid-teens that I picked up a guitar and started leading worship in my youth group. I knew one strumming pattern for every song, right? It was terrible. I could barely sing, but I guess I was the best choice, you know?
By default.
I grew up in such a small town. Like, there was 1,200 people, you know? So I was the only one. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity because it allowed me to express that heart to connect with God for worship. With me being the one behind the guitar and you know, using my voice. And so that's what started it all. And I never looked back. Any sort of sport that I was involved in, done.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't grow any bigger. you know, when I was playing baseball, these pitchers were like 6'3" and I was like 14 years old. I'm like, I'm out, you know, it's time to, you know, so I entered the music space with everything I had.
Just been playing music for the last 20
years. Yeah, I guess so. Out of high school, I did YWAM.
Okay.
And that was always on my heart.
Yep.
There was this, again, music was my connect to God and the needs of his people.
Yeah.
So it was just the way that I knew how I could help.
Yeah.
And YWAM was just such an easy yes for me.
Probably allowed you to really see the world too.
It allowed me to see the world. It allowed me to realize that, believer or not, we're all looking for the same thing, you know, we're all like orphans looking for our father, you know? And so, shortly after YWAM, I joined a band with my brothers and we played the bars for like 6 years. And again, it was just another experience of God saying, these are my people.
Yeah.
We're all the same. Whether you go to church or not, we're looking for connection. We don't always do it in a healthy way, but we are looking for our father.
Maybe a lot of people right now are just now finding out about you.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for a long time, but all of a sudden, you know, like with a big radio song that goes around the country and around the world, it's like, oh, hey, who is this guy? So, you know, who are you? You're a dad, you're a husband.
That's right.
Yeah. Like
I'm just finding out about me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a husband. I've been married to my wife for 14 years and we've got 4 kids. We plan 2. Out of 4. So we're
planned
still
to have 2.
We planned 2. We probably wanted 3 and then 4 came.
Okay.
Right. So those are just, it's just life, man. Yeah. And we love it. We wouldn't change it. We wouldn't have it any other way. As far as the music goes, I've been a worship leader my entire life.
Yeah.
Right. So I would play with my band at 1 a.m. and we'd headline this spot at a bar. And then I'd be in church the next morning at 7 a.m. and lead worship. I knew exactly in that time that God had me right where he wanted me, you know, as a young person, I had the energy to do all that. Now I can barely wake up.
Yeah.
But I would say there was a point on my journey. I was on tour. I was playing this Christian college and I began to just out of nowhere speak on surrender. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit say, Jordan, this message is for you. And essentially, what I got from that was God saying, Jordan, imagine what we could do with both your feet in on this. And so I thought about that. What did that mean? And essentially, I was leading worship. I was playing rock and roll in bars, and I was, you know, playing some acoustic singer-songwriter stuff on the side. I was, you know, dividing my attention. And I thought about what is the message that I want to put out there? What is the one thing I can't do without? And I just got to the point where I need to say the name of Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I needed to say that name. And so I just decided that's what I'm going to do. And it opened up the doors for me to say that name.
This podcast is called Weathering the Storm. Storms of our lives, uncertainties of our lives, difficult things we go through. Maybe we're still in them. Maybe we're still navigating them. One thing that I've recently learned about you and just found out about some things going on in your life right now, currently, pretty significant storm for you.
Yeah.
And that's with your daughter. You wrote Fires about your journey with your little girl, correct?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Which I think there's something, I used to not love that, you know, but I think God has given me this heart, just of compassion. And I've learned that the word compassion just means to suffer alongside with people. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And so the song Fires was written about a man not much different than myself. He was a husband and he was a father and he worked multiple jobs and he fell on hard times. And essentially he was about to lose his house. And I just was able to kind of put myself in that position. I'm like, man, what would I do? What wouldn't I do? You know, to be that provider for my kids. Yeah. And so this song of, you know, what do we do? Like we have a choice when we come up against circumstance. We can either take it on ourselves and try and be strong enough for it, or we can, you know, open that clenched fist and just say, God, I can't do this without you. And we watch what he does. And so Fires was written from that perspective. Really, it was a conversation for this man going through this tough season. And just to convey that, man, God is always showing off his faithfulness.
Yeah.
If we can just open our eyes and see it. Fast forward 6 months later is when my daughter was born. And it's so like God to set you up for what you're about to go through. And so Fires, while it wasn't written for my little girl, it became all about my little girl. Cause I'm like, oh, this song, while I thought I was writing it for this man and his story, God was writing it for me. And so, this would
tell us about that.
Yeah. So in 2018, at the end of 2018, my youngest daughter, Emery Grace, was born. And, she was born with a rare brain condition. Essentially, she has an overgrowth of capillaries on the left side of her face, and that is stealing blood away from the left side of her brain. And so there is atrophy there. So the left side of her brain is shrinking. It's not getting enough blood for it to grow. And so we've been in the emergency room countless times, seizure activity, potential stroke. We don't know what the future holds. There's so much uncertainty. And at the same time, now looking back, you know, as we've weathered, literally weathered that storm, we wouldn't change it. And I know that sounds crazy, but, I don't like pain. I hate pain. I hate feeling uncomfortable. I hate feeling uncertain. But now looking back, when we see what God has done in our lives, it's like those cracks, that brokenness, God's like, oh, I found a way in. And I can reveal to you my heart for you in a way that not everybody gets to experience. We are 2.5 years into this story. Our little girl has not had seizures in over 2 years. Like, okay, so she was a day old and she had her first MRI, picture of her brain. 6 months later, we got another MRI and it kind of showed the progression, you know, the brain is shrinking. Since the pandemic, we have not been able to go in for another MRI. So we don't know, we don't have a picture.
Yeah.
Right. So in this pandemic, God has just been asking us, will you trust me? Right. Even though you can't see with your eyes what's going on, will you let me have this? And as a dad, I'm like, I want to be able to do everything that I can possible to make sure her future is the best.
Yeah.
And God's like, that's my job. So it's so wild. And so right now, here we are. She's 2.5 and she's literally, she has not had any grand mal seizures, like the big episodes you see in the movies. She may have had some small absence seizures that we can't tell. We believe she has, but at the same time, everybody is blown away by her progress. She is developing right where she should as a 2.5-year-old. She's speaking like a 3-year-old. And we claim God's, his grace and his victory in our lives. And we claim that for today. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but right now in this moment, we're good because we are held.
On some of your last visits with her before the pandemic, and you know, you were getting the MRIs and medical updates, did they give you any kind of prognosis or any kind of long-term, like, hey, this is what you can expect?
Yeah, that's right. Our neurologist, like, is amazing. We love her. She's also pretty dark, and she gives us kind of the worst case scenario. And so the condition she has is called Sturge-Weber syndrome, and it is vicious. It is not a good outlook. There are people that can live good and healthy lives, but it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
This is where, you know, when we say, you know, God makes us all unique, it feels like that's like a bad thing because we just don't know. We don't know what the future looks like for her. One of the ways through this is to do a pretty invasive brain surgery. And now this brain surgery is to deal with seizure activity. So there are kids that are having hundreds of seizures a day. Like medicine is not being able to control them. And so a hemispherectomy is performed where the one side of the brain that is affected is separated from the other side. And all your functions, you know, if your son or daughter is young enough, will transfer over, rewire on the healthy side of the brain. And it feels like science fiction, but this was an option if she was going to continue seizing. And I didn't even know what to think. Again, as a dad, like, how do you make that choice?
You're right.
So here we were you know, 6 months, a year, year and a half in. And the doctors are telling us, you want to make this decision before she's 3 years old. And again, she wasn't seizing. And so finally we got to the point where our doctors were like, she's not a candidate anymore. And we're just blown away. And we're like, what does this mean? You know, all we know is that there were people all over the world praying for this little girl, literally all over the world. And God gave me this amazing woman as my wife who has created such an amazing environment at home. And we've got these three amazing kids that just love on this little girl. And so between prayer and the environment at home, we have to claim God in the midst of all of that.
You said something a second ago about how God finds a way in.
You know,
he kind of comes through in the cracks. And what do you feel like, you know, as you guys have walked through this and as you're still living in it and a large degree of uncertainty and you don't know what the future looks like, but you just said, you know, you're holding on to God. You're clinging to him. What do you feel like God is teaching you and showing you about himself, about his love during this time, through this storm?
Yeah, I think it's all cliche. And, you know, like this whole, you know, God is good. He never lets go. All these things, they're cliches for a reason. And I would say the greatest thing that I have learned growing up, I was always someone to hang on, to be responsible, to have it all together, to appear as someone who is put together, that you can rely on. I'm on time. And God's like, that. Those are all good qualities. But with me, you have to let go. Like, I am not the one that holds on. I'm not the God figure in my own life. God is. And so understanding that my job in a lot of ways, especially in the things I can't control, my job is to literally let go because God is continually holding on. Like, that's scary. That's like jumping out of a plane.
When it comes to your little girl, how do you let go? How are you doing that? A lot of people would probably ask that question. Well, like, how do you let go? How do you trust?
I think there's an understanding that this child is on loan from heaven. And ultimately, we are all his, even the ones we love and care about so deeply. And I don't know that I will ever come to a place where I can fully understand that. But when I do, there is a sense of peace there because I will never care for my daughter like my Heavenly Father will. So in that scenario, okay, I can let go. I think with every circumstance, with every thing that this life throws at us, we always have a choice. I think that's how God stays true to his promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. In order for him to keep that, you know what I mean? Like that love for us, we have to be able to choose him or another way. And that's, man, that's hard. When we choose him, I think we are essentially saying, I'm letting go. You're holding on. I'm letting go. And I think what I've been able to see is just God work in a way that, like, my brain can't fathom that. His ways are so much higher. In a lot of ways, we did not get the miracle that we thought we were praying for. But looking back, like I said earlier, we wouldn't change a thing. It's because we got a miracle that is so much bigger. What I would say to people is, as you go through stuff, it becomes less about you and more about him. And when we learn to pray, thy will be done, things start to change. Our perspective starts to shift. Our paradigm begins to break. And it's those cracks where God finds a way in. But when we say thy will be done, man, everything changes.
Jordan St. Cyr, thanks for taking the time for this today, for sharing your heart, for sharing this story. And I know it's an important one, and just encourage everybody to continue to pray for you and your family.
Yeah, God, thank you.
For healing and peace, buddy. We wish you the best. Stoked to hear more from you in the future. And congrats on your song, Fires. And thanks for just blessing us with your heart and just amazing music, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Thanks for spending time with me today. Please subscribe to the show so you never miss a future episode. To go deeper on today's conversation, click on the show notes below. And if you want to stay connected with me, be sure to visit RyanStevensonMusic.com.
Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.